Before you even think about what you want to charge, you've got to look at what you can afford to charge. What can you afford to live on? The most important thing is to know that you are ready for a price increase, okay? And there's a formula to do that. You know, I never, ever discounted any services in my business. It was either complimentary, right, free of charge, or it was full price. The price is based on the service, you know, on the standard of service and the experience that the guest is having. How good is the experience that you're giving to the client?
There's a difference between internal motivation and external motivation.
Who we're going to choose to be.
Be aware of what's happening.
Letting the client know that you care.
Without a good team, you're nothing.
It still does boil down to service.
When something's uncomfortable, that's what we need to look at most.
You're listening to Forest FM, the Salon Business Show with your host, Alex Barrow Springer. For your industry, by your industry.
In 1999, David Barnett became one of the youngest franchisees when he opened Tony and Guy in Limerick, Ireland. At the age of 22, he was running his own business and was in charge of a team of 22 stylists and apprentices. In 2004, he moved to New York City to join the highly acclaimed world-class team at the John Barrett Salon. He immediately became an educational director and lead stylist on events such as New York Fashion Week, the MTV Awards, and the Grammys. His experience at John Barrett Salon opened his eyes to the overwhelming potential for success as a hairdresser and salon owner in the industry. In 2010, David and his wife Nicole opened Brush Salon in a small town in Northern California. Starting off with zero clientele, four chairs, and a shoestring budget, they built a highly profitable seven-figure business in just 4 years. They grew their team to 14 employees, many of whom earned over six figures as stylists behind the chair. The salon went on to win Best Hair Salon in the North Bay for three consecutive years and was the first salon to be asked to do a pop-up salon for the Super Bowl VIPs. In 2016, they successfully sold the business to focus 100% on coaching. Pretty remarkable journey, if you ask me. That's why, in April of 2018, on season two of the podcast, we invited David onto the show to discuss his tried and tested formulas and techniques for overcoming any fear of raising your prices and charging what you're truly worth. In the last few years, when we've discussed charging your worth at Forest, it's often been in collaboration with Vish, the industry's top color management system. Their technology, which is seamlessly integrated with Forest, by the way, uses data and analytics to help salons set prices accurately, reduce inventory costs, and make life easier for stylists. The last few years have also seen, in America at least, many owners making a shift to time-based pricing for salon services, meaning an hourly rate for services that considers all costs within the price. To quote Vish's white paper, "Does time-based pricing make sense for your salon?" The client is charged by the hour for a rate that goes up or down based on the skill level of the stylist, but there's a core amount that is set to cover all costs and a targeted profit margin built in. Why? What's driving the change? Well, promoters of this pricing system say it offers better transparency, better pricing consistency, it ensures a constant margin across all services, regardless of stylist, service, or product dispensed, and simplified business management as opposed to traditional all-inclusive pricing. Other salons prefer to adhere to a parts and labor pricing model. Folks like Jason Everett of the High Performance Salon Academy even talk about prime pricing, which mirrors the Uber Surge pricing model. Look, the reality is, at the end of the day, charging accurately for what you're worth, no matter the model, will always boil down to crunching numbers. You can't get around it. Take the time-based pricing model. What's the actual salon cost for a single hour of service sold? The monthly average of income-generating service hours your salon has available? Or the monthly average of service hours sold and salon operating costs? Naturally, raising prices also requires crunching numbers. It requires a formula, to be exact, but it requires conversations too, because as Tom Kuhn, CEO of Qnity, showed everyone at the Salon Owners Summit 2024 through anecdotal insights then backed by data, for most people in the hair and beauty industry, there's a gap between perception and reality when it comes to compensation. Many believing they're underpaid when, in reality, they find themselves in the top 10% of earners across the US, bringing in about $140,000 per year. So before raising a specific stylist or therapist's prices, as you'll come to hear in this conversation, David Barnett suggests reviewing and comparing a staff member's performance against a certain few benchmarks he's identified. If they surpass said benchmarks, raising prices won't be an issue. If the staff member isn't there yet, it's doing everyone a disservice to raise the prices, but it makes for a great goal-setting conversation. But putting myself in the shoes of someone who might not know how to go about any of this, I asked David, how does one know what they're worth? Where do you even start?
Right. And that is of course, the big question, right? the thing is, first and foremost, is that a lot of salon owners and stylists are fearful of raising their prices, right? They are actually more fearful than the guest, you know? I mean, they've kind of got this thing in their head that if I raise my prices, nobody is going to come in, right? Or everyone's going to be so upset with me. And if I keep them low, I'm going to be packed. And just that is not the case. It's not how it works, you know? I mean, I think what made that most evident to me was when I went and worked over in New York City. And, you know, I walked into this salon, and, you know, I ended up being a stylist there, but they were charging like astronomical prices. Like, you know, I mean, the lowest price haircut was $130. I went in there charging $200. My boss was charging $500. And the standard of work was just, you know, it wasn't even, I would say, okay, it was good. I'm going to say it was good, but it was classic, okay? It was classic. So there wasn't anything really exciting about it or innovative or different about it. And it just made me realize that, you know, the price is based on the service, you know, on the standard of service and the experience that the guest is having, you know, and that was where they blew it away. You know, the customer service was absolutely amazing. So I think it's a case of, you know, how good is the experience that you're giving to the client? You know, that's where it kind of stems from, rather than worrying about the prices, because once you're given an amazing experience, then the price becomes less relevant.
It's going to be somewhere that people want to come back. Mm-hmm. And this is where we saw the issue with these marketplaces and stuff, where to get people in your doors, you were given 50, 60% off these mm-hmm. vouchers and Groupons and stuff like that. But those guys never come back because mm-hmm. they're constantly chasing right. the discount.
Yeah, it's funny. I know you're a football fan. You've been to the Super Bowl. You had the VIP stand. I don't know if you saw the Super Bowl ad for Groupon this year. But they were saying, like, we encourage local business and this and that. And I was like, oh, God.
Really? Wow. I just dislike the word discount, you know, immensely. I just feel like, you know, I never, ever discounted any services in my business. It was either complimentary, right, free of charge, or it was full price. You know, I just think that's just a much classier way of doing it. You know, either invite somebody in for a complimentary service, and that way they kind of understand the next time it's going to be full price. But if you give them a discount, they kind of expect the discount next time too. Or why, you know, why wouldn't you? You gave it last time.
But what also stops your other clients going, well, hang on, why are they getting it for half the price?
Exactly.
I'm getting it when I keep coming back to you.
If you want to upset your regular clients, do a big Groupon and say it's for new clients only and see what happens, you know? But getting back to what you initially asked me, you know, about how you even know if you're charging what you're worth, right? I mean, first of all, before you even think about what you want to charge, you've got to look at what you can afford to charge, all right? And so many hairdressers open their own business and they don't even know what their break-even is, all right? So it's an easy thing to find out, you know, what are your set charges that you've got every single month? What are the bills you've got coming in that you know you've got to pay? So first of all and foremost, this should be what you want to pay yourself. You know, what can you afford to live on, right? That has to come number one. I was working with a client recently, with a salon recently. She hadn't paid herself for 2.5 years.
At all?
You know, she she'd been living off her husband's wages, trying to build the salon business, and everybody else had been getting paid, and she hadn't been paying herself. You know, and I said to her immediately, I said, this is what we need to fix, like, right now. You do not have a business right now. You know, you have a charity, you know, and we're not in this to break even. We're in this to have a living and hopefully a very, very good one. So first and foremost, I said, we got to find out what the number is. So, you know, how much you are willing to pay yourself, enough as well to live on, right? How much is your rent? How much is your electricity? How much is your products? You know, and any other team members? What are the wages there? What is your break even? You know, what does it cost you to keep those lights on, right? And then once we figured that out, then we kind of reverse engineer it from there. We work backwards and think, okay, so let's, for instance, let's say it's, I'm just throwing numbers out there, but let's say it's $1,000 or €1,000 a month to keep the lights on. Well, if your average ticket then is €50, $50, whatever it may be, then how many clients have you got to see in order to do that? Then we break it down to a daily basis. All right. So obviously, you know, if it's 1,000, you've got to see 20 clients, right? Which of course wouldn't be hard to do. So you're seeing one a day, you can afford to keep the lights on. But you know, if it ends up being 4,000 or 5,000, then you know, obviously the numbers are a lot higher. But you need to have that number. It's so crucial. And the majority of salon owners that I work with, when we first sit down and I say, okay, what's the break even to begin with? They don't know it. Not off the top of their head. And we've got to know that number. You know, you've got to have that intimate relationship with your business that you know exactly how much it is in order to keep the lights on. And then you can start to say, okay, this is where my prices need to be. This is where I can afford to have them. Once you find out that price point, then it's like, okay, now how much more am I worth? You know, so, you know, my experience obviously comes into that, you know, where you've worked previously, how many years you've been in the business, what the experience for the guest is like, you know, so what else are you doing? Like, you know, for instance, in my own salon, we did a lot of scalp massage for every single client that was getting a blow dry or a haircut. For anybody who's having color, we did hand and arm massages. You know, I have clients that also, they use these relaxing eye pillows. So if they're lying down at the shampoo bowl, they've got these lavender warm eye pillows. So little things like that make a massive difference. And that's got to affect your price point as well. So once you've got the bottom line, we start to build on that. Okay, how much am I worth? You know, of course, community comes into it. We can even look at other salons, of course. What are the benchmarks for what they're charging? And how am I different from that? But I think that is how we establish exactly where our price point needs to be, rather than guessing it. You know, another salon that we're working with right now, I had the conversation with the owner this morning because I told her that we needed to raise her prices. If she stays where she is, there's no way that she's going to have a business in 6 months to a year from now. So we put up the prices across the board. Now, probably only £5 actually. It was in the UK, so £5 across the board on each service. And she called me this morning worried about it. You know, I'm worried about the price increase. I said, why? Who's complained? Nobody yet. Okay. So we haven't had any complaints yet. I said, you've got this in your own head. She said, well, one of the other stylists said that one of her regulars didn't rebook. She always rebooks. I said, well, maybe she's on vacation and she's not sure when her next appointment should be. Let's follow up with her, perhaps in a day or two, get some feedback on her last visit and find out what it is. Don't jump to conclusions that she's got a big hang up about the price and she's never coming back. Because as long as you are delivering or over-delivering on their expectation on the service, then they're going to come back, you know?
Yeah, don't be biased on it's just because I increased the price. Right. Anything could have happened that day. Anything in their life could have happened that they couldn't come back. So don't worry about the pricing. But like, what do you tell someone who does worry that it's going to turn my clients off? So how do you get them to believe that this is not going to be the worst case scenario or the worst thing in the world?
Well, I think first of all, you know, the most important thing is to know that you are ready for a price increase. Okay. And there's a formula to do that. All right. So this is how, you know, I had regular price increases in my salon, but each stylist had to show me they were ready. It wasn't a case of them coming up to me saying, David, I want to be paid more. Okay, I'll put up your prices, or okay, I'll increase your commission. You know, we sat down, we looked at their numbers, and I'm going to give you the formula now that I use in order to know, you know, when a new stylist on the floor was ready for a price increase. Okay, so if you've got a pen and pencil, you might want to jot this down. Okay,
I'm writing this down myself.
So the first thing was that you've got to be 75% booked. All right. Now, because of amazing software companies like Forest, our life is so much easier. All right. This was such a difficult thing to track not very, very long ago. Now we've got, you know, you've just made our life. Thank you. Thank you both. And the whole team at Forest, because you have made our life just so much easier. You know, I mean, numbers are the one thing that as a hairdresser, we hate to even think about. You know, it's just the one thing that we just get so frustrated with, right? We don't even want to go there. We're artists, right? And we don't even want to look at the numbers. We give that to the accountant. But now we can click a button and we get all this information. So firstly, 75% booked. If you're not 75% booked, don't even think about raising your prices, okay? There's something else going on. If you've been hairdressing for a long time and you're still not booked at that price point, there's probably something else going on. But anyway, 75% booked. We also track the amount of services the person had done in a month. So not the amount of clients, the amount of services. So if someone came in for a haircut and color, then of course that's two services, all right? They need to have done 130. 130 services was the benchmark that I set for new stylists. The third thing that we tracked was retention, right? So 60% retention rate, all right? So if you haven't got 60% of your clients coming back in, and the way that we kind of judged retention was that if they hadn't been back in within 3 months, okay, 12 weeks, then you weren't retaining that guest. Okay, so if you want to know what your retention is right now, you might want to, you know, track it from 3 months ago right up until till today, and that'll give you your retention rate. The other thing that I love to track was new guests, especially for a new stylist on the floor. They had to have 8 new clients coming in per month, all right? So 2 a week, which isn't a lot, right? And now, if it was a stylist that was been with me some time and they had a full book of regular clients, I wouldn't track that as closely because, of course, they haven't got room for new clients. If that's the case for you, then don't worry about that one, okay? The other two things that I also added to this, which is ones that we came up with ourselves, because I believe that these last two, they tell me that the client really trusts you, and it tells me that they're definitely going to come and book back in. And that is, first of all, retail. All right, the retail per client ticket needs to be about £10, all right, or $12.50 we had it at. And so that means that basically the average client is buying at least a bottle of shampoo from you. Some clients I know don't buy, and some clients buy 3. So on average, you've got to be selling 1 per guest. And then the last thing is add-on services. Right? We wanted to see 10 add-on services per client. So, you know, there's quite a few benchmarks there that really tell you whether you are ready for a price increase or not. But at least if you are hitting those, then you know that it's a guarantee that's not going to be a problem. All right. If you're under on any of those, then I would say you're taking a little bit of a risk. You're probably going to lose a couple more than you would like to lose. But we always found that once they were hitting these benchmarks, then it was a no-brainer, you know, and we would normally increase either the haircut or the color, one or the other. Normally not both, because it means that if the client books in for a haircut and color, she's getting hit with a double whammy there. So we would normally keep it one or the other, so not to upset the guest.
But just looking at that formula there, it's an achievable amount to say, yeah, I'm ready for the price increase.
Right.
There's only one thing there that stands out to me that I might have a doubt about, and excuse me, it's having to sell the retail product for every client. Mm-hmm. But for anyone that listened to David's episode a couple of weeks ago where he's talking about the upselling product, after listening to that episode, you should have no qualms of being able to upsell a product to every single client.
Yeah.
That was another great formula where you just put the 3 products constantly right in their mind.
Right, right. You know, it all comes down to education, you know, and this ties into the client experience. You know, you've got to be educating your guest on what you're doing. You know, they want to know why you've picked up that product. They want to know why you're using it, why you chose it for their hair, you know, why that specific product. That's all you need to be doing, talking to them about it. And, you know, having that in there as a benchmark for them, for the stylist to hit is, of course, going to encourage them to have that conversation. You know, we need to have a goal there for them to hit.
Now, this is a fantastic formula because we say, oh, like increase your prices. But like you're saying, you have to have a reason why. Mm-hmm. And this here right now, it highlights why you should increase your prices. Not just, I'm giving a cheap service, I'm going to increase my prices, because there's no value there.
Right.
But even more than that, I mean, obviously a lot of people think, like you were saying, that they'll get backlash from, you know, raising their prices. But if anything, if you're actually ready to raise them, like you said, and you've done that formula, if anything, you're actually raising your reputation by raising your prices.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to keep growing, right? I mean, everything else in our industry goes up in price, right? Your rent goes up, your product cost goes up, probably your software goes up in price as well. I'm not sure about that. Not very often, right? Forrest stays pretty consistent, but I mean, you know, everything gets more expensive, you know, it's more expensive to live every single year, you know, and also you're getting more experience. You deserve to be raising your prices. That is the bottom line, that you deserve to be doing it, you know? You know, I can't stress more that it's all about the experience. You know, don't think about the price. Think about what else you can offer them. You know, it reminds me of this story. I moved back to Wales about a year ago, right? And I'm from this small town originally called Menai Bridge, right? Menai Bridge is on this little island called Anglesey, which is like one of the furthest most western regions of North Wales. And this little town, I mean, like, probably the fanciest restaurant you could get there would be a really good pub dinner, you know?
I love a bit of gastro pub.
Yeah, gastro pub dinner, you know? But that was kind of like about it, right? And then someone said to me, have you heard that a Michelin star restaurant has opened in Menai Bridge? And I was like, what? And I said, no, I didn't know that. They said, not only that, they are fully booked 6 months in advance, right? And the thing was, right, you wouldn't have thought that this clientele would have been in that area. But they knew that the experience they were going to offer was going to be like nothing else. And it's, you know, I think it's a minimum of 95 a head to eat there. That's not including any wine or drinks or anything else. And they go and open up their bookings for a set amount of time now, like twice a year. And the thing completely sells out, you know, and they're fully booked 6 months at a time. And if you look at a lot of these Michelin star restaurants, you know, in order to get the Michelin star, it's all based on the experience, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's the theater of it. It's not just the price, and it's the same for us. Yes, exactly. You know, it's this experience that the client gets to have, you know, and it's the same for us. And at the moment, there's so many salons out there that aren't thinking outside the box, you know. So many of us are fighting over the same clients because the experience is pretty much the same. And it can be the smallest little thing. Like, for instance, I had a client once who came into me and she just got back from Japan. And she sat in my chair and I said to her, did you get your hair done when you went to Japan? She goes, oh my God, I actually did. She goes, I went in and I got a blow dry and you never guess what happened. I was like, what? And I was expecting to say, like, you know, the blow dry lasted a week or something, or 3 weeks or something. And she didn't. She said to me, when I went in there, they took my glasses off me, right? She wore glasses. They took my glasses off me and they put them in this special box, right? And then after I'd finished the blow dry, they brought the glasses back and they have never been cleaner. They were like unbelievable. I'm not sure what was in it, what they did to it, but I put them on and I was like, oh my God, they are like better than new. And that's all she was raving about. And I was like, God, I love that. You know, it cost them probably nothing to do, took no time at all, but this client was raving about it. And that's the little stuff. That is the magic that I think that is so obvious. You know, for me, I think it's so obvious that so many salons could be doing this and just crushing it, you know, and just standing out head and shoulders above everybody else by adding a couple of these little things.
And like that, you're saying, look outside the box. So don't just look at what other hair salons are doing, or right, other beauty salons are doing. Look at your local restaurant. Look at your local bar or optician. Anywhere you go, that there's a service going on.
Right.
What else are they doing?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, I had another salon recently, just while we're on that subject of being in Ireland. Of course, we get the occasional day of rain occasionally. And, you know, one salon has this rule in place that whenever it's raining, they insist on walking their guests with an umbrella to their vehicle. I mean, that stuff reminds me of kind of like, you know, five-star hotels back in the 1940s or something like that, you know, to have that doorman concierge service. But again, it takes somebody a couple of minutes to do it, but the knock-on effect from that, the reaction from the guests, and of course the posts now they're going to be putting all over social media are just incredible. And that's what they're going to talk about. They're not going to talk about the amazing haircut, because that is now expected, All right. They're going to be talking about the added service. So, you know, when you're putting these things on top of what you do normally and you're over delivering on the expectation, then your prices can easily reflect that. And they won't even blink at it.
What if, for instance, a stylist or an owner wasn't quite ready to raise their prices and face a little bit of a backlash, like we said? What issues can you come across after implementing a price hike?
Not just the issues, but how do you also kind of make it foolproof to prevent the issue? So don't just be reactive, be active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, first of all, you've got to have a formula. You've got to be ready for it. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of hairdressers out there that are fully booked, all right, and haven't raised their prices for years. For me, that's a no-brainer, okay? Now, if you are still going to get a backlash from it, you know, if you're worried about that, then I think that you handle it in the moment. You know, first of all, you've got to make sure that that you are informing them that there has been a price increase. And there's ways of doing that. Like you could even just talk about, have you seen our new menu or the launch of our new menu, you know? And that can, of course, include the price increase as well. You can also talk about if you feel like there's certain clients that are going to be sticky with it, I think it's fine to include it in the consultation, that just to let you know. And, you know, it's because of other things that are happening. You know, it's because of product increases. It's because you haven't raised them in 5 years, you know, and yet my rent and my product cost has all gone up, you know, and we're having to do this now. And it's also fine for some clients to choose not to come and see you anymore. You know, be okay with that, because you've got to open some space for your new clients. You know, maybe they are not supposed to be your client forever. Maybe they're supposed to go and see somebody else in the salon. You know, if you've got younger stylists that are coming through, it's a perfect opportunity for them to pick up those clients as well. So I think it's just one of those things that it's always evolving, and we've got to be okay with it.
But like that, if you've got a plan in place, information is key. Be open, be transparent. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Well, it's costing me a lot more to do your haircut now.
Mm-hmm. You know, what we used to do, actually, recalling now that we used to celebrate it, okay? So what we would do, if one of my stylists had a price increase, we would put a little poster up in the, you know, all of my clients actually went into a little changing area, changing when they changed out of their shirt or out of their top, and they put on the robe. And there was a little poster that would go on the mirror in there, and it would say, you know, join us in celebrating Kayla's success. You know, she's reached another level in our salon, and her haircuts have gone from $50 to $55 now, you know, and it would be, oh, great. And she'd actually sit down and say, congratulations. So, you know,
that's actually
another
genius.
Way of seeing it. Yeah.
You're not looking at the price. You're going, my stylist has just graduated and upskilled.
Moved to another level.
But in saying that, I mean, I could totally relate on how that would work, because if I look at my relationship with the barber that I go see, I've been following him from shop to shop and looking at his achievements, and I'm just so proud of him every time he does something great. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You want to hike your price up? Do it. Like, you've been training so much for it. Like, I'll be more than happy to support you, you know?
And you know what? I think that is the mentality of so many clients, yet we don't think it is. You know, we've already made up the decision in our own head that, no, that will not be the reaction that my clients give. You know, they're going to freak out because mine are totally different. You know, aren't going to pay any more money. But I honestly believe that there's more guests and more clients out there that are actually congratulate people and expect it.
That's amazing. I mean, like, if there's any guideline to get out of this, it's that it's so crystal clear. It's like 75% book, 130 services. Use this as your guideline.
Yeah. You know, that just gives them something to aim for as well. You know, I mean, it takes away that awkward conversation of one of your team members coming up to you, either, you know, they think they've caught you on a really good day, or maybe it's after a couple of beers after work, and they say, you know, any chance of a pay rise, or, you know, I wish I was earning some more money, or my prices should be going up. You know, my answer ends up being, oh my God, that I could completely agree with you. I would love to pay you more money. Let's sit down and look at your numbers. You know, and as soon as you do that, it tells you straight away. And if it's not, if they're not on track, then you can say, you know what, you're just off on a couple of things, but we are so close. So let's just make sure we focus on those areas and yes, 100%. Let's raise prices.
So don't look at that as a scary thing of your staff wanting a pay rise because you're moving your prices up. Support them to get to that stage themselves.
Exactly. You know, there's a formula for everything. And I think, you know, you'll find that the team will just work harder towards it once they've got that in place.
That's brilliant, David. Thanks again for joining us. If you still don't know if you're ready, give David a shout.
Yeah, you know, as always, I just wanted to finish on that as well, Killian, that if there's something going on in your own business and you would love to have 30 minutes with me on a call, I always look to offer this for any of the Forest crew, the Forest team members, is that, you know, I'm always available. So please let me know if I can help in any way. I'd love to jump on a complimentary call with you and see if I can help you figure it out.
When they opened their salon in North Carolina, David and Nicole's goal was clear from the start: a highly profitable, seven-figure salon with multiple stylists earning six figures. They never wavered from it. It doesn't matter which town or city you live in. It doesn't matter the type of guests or age demographic you want to attract. It's all about formulas and financial literacy. Thanks for listening. If you're looking for the links and resources mentioned throughout the episode, check out the show notes and or head over to forest.com/FM. Also, Forest FM is built on recommendations from the community, so if you or someone you know has a story from the salon floor worth sharing, please go ahead and DM me. You can find me on Instagram at a.belspring. Over the years of producing and hosting this podcast, many people have expressed a desire to get to know me better. I hope that with all of its imperfections, the fully rebooted Forest FM newsletter can help do just that and be something that we can explore together while keeping the show about our wonderful guests. It goes out every Monday and it's the number one place for any and all exclusive content and announcements. Finally, if you've enjoyed this episode, there's a few ways you can support the podcast and really make a difference. One, send the episode to a friend or share it on social media and tag us. Two, if you're listening to this on Spotify, leave a comment in the Q&A section of the episode. Three, you can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And four, your feedback is always appreciated. For anything you want to share, send us an email at forestfm@forest.com.
Brought to you by Forest Salon Software. Forest FM episodes air weekly, sharing inspiring stories from the salon floor and amplifying community voices all over the globe. In your salon, we're at the heart of it. This episode was edited and mixed by Audio Z, Montreal's cutting-edge post-production studio for creative minds looking to have their vision professionally produced and mixed. Great music makes great moments.